Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
We are wrapping up the series on the vicious cycle today. And let me tell you, as I walked in this morning, I was like kind of like having this conversation with God. Like, you know, I feel like we've talked about cycles a lot at Hope City. In the time of Hope City, I feel like cycles is something we continually come across, and we're talking about it. And maybe people are getting sick about this, and maybe we should stop talking about it. And he just like kind of tapped me on the shoulder, and he's like, Paula, if I'm bringing it up, don't you think it's something I want to talk about? I'm like, good point, God. That's why you're God, right? So if God keeps bringing up the issue of cycles, then maybe we should just listen and be like, instead of being like, oh, here we are talking about cycles again, we should actually listen to what he has to say. So as we're wrapping up this series, let me just remind you of where we are in the book of Matthew. We're in the book of Matthew. We're in chapter 6, and we're in the middle of probably what's known as like the greatest sermon Jesus ever preached, because it spanned from chapter 5 through chapter 7 of Matthew 7, and I mean Matthew of the book of Matthew. And I'm sure like they had some breaks in between there, like they'd go potty or, you know, something. Jesus would get a drink of water, have a little break, but he preached this big message. It's known as the Sermon on the Mount. On the Mount. Sorry, not the Mound. And as we've walked through this, we found a lot of like mini messages, like mini series within this one big message. And this one that we're wrapping up today is on the vicious cycle. So here's what I know to be true about cycles. They're repetitive, right? They're repetitive. So if we have something going on in our life that causes us problems, causes us to get hung up, and then we like get over it and we start like getting past it, and then a few months later we find ourselves right back with that same issue, you might be in a cycle, right? They're repetitive. They go nowhere. We might feel like when we get past that issue, okay, now we're going somewhere, and then something triggers us and we get right back to that same issue. And we've gone absolutely nowhere. They cause confusion, right? They make us sick. Do you know that? Cycles make us sick. And as I was preparing this message, God gave me this picture of me on a merry-go-round. Not the cute, like, carousel on a pretty, you know, painted horse that kind of goes up and down. And it does go around, but it's not like the picture he showed me was like on one of those merry-go-rounds, like at a playground. Does anyone, like when I say that, do you like, because when I was in elementary school, we had one of those. And it was always like, it was the thing, I don't know how else to put it, for you to find your place on that merry-go-round to hold on while the other person like whips it around and whips it around and whips it around to see how fast they can get you going to see who's going to fall off first. Right? Now, I learned pretty quickly as a young elementary student that merry-go-rounds aren't for me because they make me sick. And I got off of that thing and my head is still spinning. I can't keep my balance. And then I start puking. Right? And nothing helps me to feel better unless I remove myself and go lay down. That's how cycles work in our lives. They make us sick. They make us dizzy with confusion until we have nothing left to do but retreat. Our series, this series, The Vicious Cycle, started in Matthew 6, verse 19. And we've had three messages that we've talked about the importance of what we focus on. We've talked about focusing on what we invest in, where we put our, where we consider our treasure to be, what we pour our time into. We've had a message on the importance of, like, not worrying, because God takes care of everything that we need. And then we come to this last part of this section. And I feel like Jesus is like, just in case you didn't catch what I was saying, let me put it to you another way. As a teacher, I taught fourth grade for 7 years. And there were many times where I would like teach a lesson, teach a new concept, and I could still tell, like, there were kids out there, like, they weren't quite grasping it. So it would be like, okay, let me try this way. Let me say it this way as I come to the end of the lesson. And I feel like that's kind of how Jesus is saying, listen, I want you to catch this, so let me say it this way. And that's where we are today. Jesus is like, all right, let me put it to you this way. Today's message is titled, Exponentially More. In case you're like, hey, wait a minute, I've heard a message titled this before. Yes, you have. You actually have. Because the term exponentially more is our theme, is Hope City's theme for 2023. And our goal as the pastoral staff was to close out every sermon series, if appropriate, with the message title, Exponentially More. Because God has so much more for you and I than cycles can ever produce. Do you hear that? But in order to experience the more, we have to give up the cycle.
Whoa.
Let's look at today's passage. Two verses, three sentences. Jesus wraps it up like this. Remember, he's like, let me put it somewhere. Let me put it this way. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So as we end this series, I feel like God is saying to us three things. At least he was saying them to me, so I'm going to say to you what he said to me, and maybe it'll help you. Maybe it'll apply. The first thing is this. Refocus. Jesus said, let me put it to you this way. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. We break the vicious cycle by focusing on what is important in God's kingdom. That's what he says. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. So we're going to break the cycle by focusing on what is important in God's kingdom. Well, what is that? I am so glad you asked. I bet the Bible has something to say about that. Let's look at chapter 5, verses 22-23. And it says this, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. When we are focused on God's kingdom and what's important in his kingdom, we're going to see this stuff start producing in our lives. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When we're focused on the cycle, on the other stuff, then what are we going to see produced? Worry, fear, anxiety, insignificance. Insecurity. We're always going to feel a sense of lack when we don't focus on what he wants us to focus on. But when we focus on what is important to him, he produces these really transformational things in our lives that then go on to transform other people. Then he also says this in James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphan and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. This is what Jesus is saying. Get your eyes off yourself. Plain and simple. Stop looking at what you feel will make you feel better. He's like, listen, this is what's important. People that are down and out, and believe me, at that time, in this time, orphans and widows were like at the bottom of the social ladder. And they had no one to take care of them. And Jesus was like, pay attention to those who need help. Don't let the world corrupt you and make you think it's all about you, because it's not. Both of those passages we just read have nothing to do with what we want. Nothing. It's all about what God wants to do through us. We have to change our focus from what we want to acquire to what we want to accomplish for God's kingdom. The next thing is this: reevaluate. So Jesus, going back to our anchor verse today, Jesus said, look after my kingdom, look at my kingdom, and I will give you everything you need. He will give you everything you need. What do we need to live? To really live? To survive? There's actually a diagram of this. I learned this when I was, I think I was in high school, actually, when we talked about this for the first time. This is called Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. And Maslow was just, he was a scientist, and he kind of broke down the human existence to, like, what do we need to survive in the world? And each need kind of builds up on the other. You can't go to the next level until that need below it is met, okay? So this is what Maslow broke it down to. We need our physiological needs, means this: air, water, food, shelter, clothing. Like, we need that to, like, just stay alive, right? Then we need to feel safe and secure. And then we need to have a sense of love and belonging. And then we need to feel respect and have a sense of self-esteem, status, and recognition. And finally, self-actualization means a desire to become the most that one can be. Let me just fill you in on something. All of these things are produced or provided for when we focus on God's kingdom. How, Paula, really? That's not even possible. Well, let me tell you a personal story then. Because when I was growing up as a little girl, from the age of about, well, birth until about 10 years old, I lived in what you would probably consider extreme poverty. I lived in a shack that had been converted into a 3-room dwelling place. We had a kitchen, a bedroom, a living room, and a shared closet space for my mom, one of my brothers, my sister, and myself. My other 3 brothers had stayed in California with my dad. I don't know if you noticed, I didn't include a certain room of the house. There was no bathroom in this shack. We had running cold water, but we didn't have hot water. And so we'd have to like boil water on the stove in order to have hot water. When we needed to use the bathroom, we lived in a space in between my aunt and uncle and grandparents. And so we would go to one of their houses to go to the bathroom or take a shower. We always had food. Sometimes it was like pancakes for dinner. But we always had food. We were taken care of. I had clothes on my back all the time. There was never a time in my life that I can remember like not like wearing clothes that were either way too big or way too small for me. I always had clothes, maybe not a lot, but I had clothes. I was safe. I felt secure. I didn't feel like there was something that was going to happen to me all the time. My family taught me to be respectful, yet to expect respect in return, which built my self-esteem. And because all of those lower level needs were met, I was able to learn who God created me to be and strive to become that person. The point of this is this: it's not bad to have nice things. It's not. You work hard. If that's something that you want to invest in and have nice things, absolutely, there's nothing wrong with that. I like nice things too. But the problem is when that becomes our focus, right? God said he's always going to give us what we need. There might even be some times, there will be times that he even gives us more than what we need, like what we want. Those are called bonus times. Isn't that awesome? But God promises that everything we need in order to survive in this world is going to be met when we put our focus on him. And finally, this. Jesus calls us to remember. Remember. And I think he comes back to this portion because of our tendency to do it. Jesus says this: remember, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Poor focus and worry seem to go hand in hand, don't they? And Jesus circles back around to our tendency to worry. Now listen, I want you to look at something right here. Jesus says, don't worry or do not worry about tomorrow. He doesn't say you shouldn't worry. He doesn't even say, you should try not to worry. What Jesus says is, do not worry. I'm about ready to share with you a very challenging lesson that Jesus had to walk me through with this passage of scripture right here. Because I had a tendency to worry about what might happen. And I would constantly be having conversations in my head about how I would respond to someone about a conversation that hadn't even happened yet. Ever done that? Okay. And Jesus brought me to this passage. This was like 15 years ago. And it says, he said, do you see what it says right there? It says, do not worry. And at this point, I was raising young kids. And this is the question that he proposed to me. Hey, Paula, when you tell your kids to do something and they don't do it, what is that? It's disobedience. And I quickly, like, it's disobedience. He's like, exactly. So if I tell you to do something or to not do something and you do it, what is that? And I said, disobedience. And he's like, right. So when you disobey me, your God, the one you serve, the one that you've given your life to, when you disobey God, what is that? Because some of you already know the answer that it came to my head, right? I said, it's a sin. He goes, right. So worry is a sin. Oh, dang! Oh, wait, hold on. God, really? And he's like, and he kind of took me through it, this again. If I tell you not to do something and you do it, it's disobedience. When you disobey me, that's called sinning. So worry is a sin. Oh! Now, it's forgivable, right? Our sins are covered by Jesus and his sacrifice. So it's not like we have to be like, oh no, I'm sinning, I'm going to go to hell. That's not what he's saying. He's like, you're missing the mark of the abundant life that I have for you here on earth. I have so much more for you, but yet you choose to sin and do what I asked and not do, or do what I asked you not to do. Stop worrying so that you can live in abundance. Ooh. And I was like, yes, sir. Okay. This doesn't mean that we can't make plans. I like to make plans. I'm planning a trip right now with my sister who doesn't really like to make plans very much. And I think I'm driving her crazy as I'm like, well, what about on this day if we do this and this and this? And she's like, okay, that's fine. She doesn't have that attitude. If you know my sister, she's kind of like right below Jesus. She's practically perfect in every way, like Mary Poppins. But I like to plan. I like to plan. This doesn't mean, Jesus isn't saying, don't make plans. Okay? What he's saying is this. Don't be so tied to your plans that you get all worried and tied up and fretting, wondering, like, do I have everything in place so that my plans will happen? Don't get so tied to your plans that you become a wreck if they don't happen. That's what he's saying. It's okay to plan, but ultimately, let me be in charge of it. Well, James, which was Jesus' half-brother, said the exact same thing in James chapter 4. He said, look here, you who say today or tomorrow we're going to go to a certain town and we will stay there a year, we will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you should say, or what you ought to say, is this: if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. James just reinforced what we just talked about, right? This whole thing came to a full circle for me when Jesus was teaching me this lesson. I don't know if maybe you're not the same as I am. Sometimes I need multiple lessons before it really clicks. I'm like, oh, now I get it, right? It's not because I'm trying to be rebellious, but sometimes it just doesn't fully click and I don't fully comprehend it. So Jesus has to say it multiple different ways and different times and using different people. And as he's teaching me this about worry and how it's a sin and how it's okay to plan, but don't get so tied to your plans that you become a controlling, raging person when they don't happen, because I would do that, just saying. All of a sudden, I'm watching a message by Joyce Meyer in my living room. And she used this verse in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. This is what it was: the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to the Lord, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. I remember her reading that verse and then saying this: you want to know what this means? That means when you woke up this morning, God gave you everything you needed for what you were going to face today. And when you wake up tomorrow morning, God is going to give you everything you need to face tomorrow. But when you wake up this morning and you are starting to think about things that might happen tomorrow or things that are coming tomorrow, what you're doing is you're actually using what God gave you for today, and you're wasting it on what's going to happen tomorrow. And so what we end up living in is a cycle of poor focus where we always feel depleted, lacking, and empty, because we're chewing away at what God gave us for today on what might happen tomorrow. Ooh. At that point, I was like, yes, I do that. And I need to stop. Because I was feeling exactly what I just said: lacking, depleted, empty. Because I had spent the first 25 minutes of my day using what he had given me for today on tomorrow, and now I'm playing catch up for the day. I felt like it was super appropriate for us to end this message, this sermon series, with Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Doesn't that sound so good? Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. when we choose to refocus, reevaluate, and remember what God has told us, to focus on Him, then we are going to learn how to live freely and lightly. Doesn't that sound so inviting? It's time for the vicious cycle to stop and for us to step into exponentially more.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.